Let us pray. Ever-loving Father, you who has given us this opportunity to be together with the Women's Guild, we want to thank you and to honor you that this week we have had so many activities. You have taken care of us and you have given us the joy to think about running the race marked out for us with perseverance. We want to pray that you speak to us this morning as we gather together. Speak to each and every one of us so that time comes that we are going to realize who we are in your kingdom. We thank you, we honor you through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. May we take our seats, please. Praise be to God. Amen. Today I am in front of you as one of the guild members. I'm so happy to be the speaker this morning. And I am not going to speak about the Women's Guild alone. I'm going to speak the Word of God. And the Word of God has been given to us. We have our key verse, or the section of the key verse that is from Hebrews 12, verse 1, which is reminding us that we should run the race with perseverance. Praise the Lord. So you need to persevere as you run the race, because this life is a life that is, it may be equated with the race. Praise be to God. Before I get into the actual sermon, I want us to think about very special gifts that have been women, so that whoever is connected to a woman, is there anyone here who is connected to a woman? Yes, all of us. Hey, I like that. All of us are connected to a woman in one way or the other. And especially our mothers. Our mothers have made us. I was looking at a proverb from South Africa, which is saying that the one who rocks the cradle is the one that determines the nation and the destiny. So this woman who is sitting here, this woman who took care of you, he determined your nation and your destiny. Praise the Lord. So you are here because your mother took care of you. She did not abort you. She took care of the pregnancy. And even when she gave birth to you, she was very, very, very careful to even breastfeed you, to even cook. That you may have thought about it as nasty food, but it was food for you. Praise the Lord. Hey, some of our mothers can cook anything that comes along, including the pumpkins that most of us don't like. Do you like the stuff? Some of us don't like it. Some of us don't like it, but I wish you knew the nutritional value of the pumpkin. But your mother was able to just put it in other things. And before you realize it, you can only see the pills and tell, my mother cooked some pumpkins. Why? Because women have very special gifts. One of them is that they have tears. They have tears. If today I say it from here, can you start crying? I don't tell you the reason. The 95% of the people who are going to cry will be women. So they are going to psych themselves up and they are going to cry, and they are going to even tell God, I am crying because of this. Because some of the tears are cried in secret. Some of the tears are cried here. Even when a woman comes to make a presentation here, sometimes tears can just come. Why? Because that is a blessing. It is a blessing. And when women cry, they cry their hearts out. Some of them have gatherings whereby they go and cry. They just go and cry. They tell one another stories and they share and they cry. And that is why women do not have many stresses. Or rather, the many stresses that they go through, they are able to cry them out. Am I speaking to anyone? Yes, so you can cry your heart out. I think men, you can emulate a bit, but you cannot change from your nature. But you can emulate some of these things. They cry out. Your mother, your sister, your wife, your wife can even cry that you are doing one thing or the other. And then she cries out. She can even cry for the children. The children are misbehaving. The other thing that women have is influence. Women, do you know how strong you are? You can influence someone to even hate his mother. Sorry for that. You can even drive him to hate his own mother because you are a woman of influence. And you bring in your things and you say, she's this, she's that. Until this man says, okay, my mother is not very good. But from the sixth sense, you say, even though she's not good, she breastfed me, she took care of me. So that is the woman. She can influence. And even the food that I'm talking about, she can influence you to like some things that you hate. Because a woman is a person. It is a godly given person on this earth to be someone to influence the earth. Do you know that women carry the joy of the family? The joy of the family. And even the religion. You are religion carriers. If you don't come to church, you lady, it is not very possible that your husband or your brother or your son will come to church. But when you come to church, most of the men will say, okay, let me just drop her. Then you drop her today, tomorrow, 3 days, 5 days, and then you join in because of the influence. So I'm speaking to my fellow ladies, just be good. Even when you are dropped, you tell him, I still love you. I wish you joined me because you are a woman of influence. In a very tactful way, just use your own words. The other thing that women have is that they have many words. They have many. Some of them are said in prayers, others are said in the noise, others are said while complaining, others are said while cooking, others are said while even making the bed, they are said everywhere, and so they can empty themselves out, and that is why most of the stresses of the women, they are released or they are taken care of as women speak, and especially when they speak in groups. These ones that you see here, when they meet, apart from what is there in the program, there is what is out of the program. And women, the guild members, do you agree with me that we speak more in the outer than in the program? Yes, we have a lot. Our inner circles, we have this and so, so and so, so and so. We sit together and we speak. And when we speak, we are speaking our lives, we are speaking our problems, we are speaking our uphills, we are speaking our downhills, we are speaking our stresses, we are speaking our frustrations. So that is something that women have, and most of the times men do not have. The last thing, it is multitasking. You can get into a house, a woman is breastfeeding, she's cooking some ugali, she's speaking to some neighbor, and she's making a call. All those things are happening at the same time. Multitasking. They can multitask. They can even wash the dishes and also cook some milk that is just boiling. She's taking care of that. The baby is crying. She's singing a lullaby. And also, the husband is calling, where is my shirt? And you are responding to all those. You are responding to all. Ati, where is my shirt? So, women can multitask, and they make the world beautiful because of the multitasking. You are doing this, you are doing that, you are doing this at the same time. Simultaneously, nothing stops. So that is how women are just created in a very special way. So next time when I get a chance, I'll speak up, I'll have more things that... some research has been done, and then some on the men. Even you men, I'm not going to leave you out because you are so special. See, they are special. Yes, the other day I went to Kivedesho and they told me that men are not in the choir. And then I told them, you men, when you sing, you kill us flat. You kill us flat. Do you agree with me, women? Yes, if men stand here to sing, they kill us. We just lie flat and we wait upon that. That's a very deep voice. So today, I just came to remind all of us that we need to run the race with perseverance. There are so many difficulties in this life, but the way God has created us, He has given us special abilities to run over and to run with perseverance despite the difficulties, despite the temptations. We have to be determined to finish this race. And the Bible is saying in Hebrews 12 that the race is marked out for us. There is a race that is marked out for us. It is not our own making. It is that race that is marked out for you. To some, the race is so straight. To some, the race is so crooked. To some, the race is so long. To some, it is so short. Praise be to God. I don't know what race you are running at this time. I don't know. I don't know how it is. I don't know. You can just think about it and say, okay, in this race of life, because life itself is being equated with the race, there are so many things that are happening around you. If you can get a blank page to narrate what is happening, you can say a lot, a lot, a lot. But what I'm saying this morning is that I have 3 points to dwell on as we look at running the race with perseverance. These points are just basically, 1, the preparation, 2, the action, and 3, the finish. 1, the preparation. How do you need to prepare for this race? Number 2, how do you run the race actually? Number 3, how do you finish? So I have just 3 points, because there is a race that is marked for each and every one of us to run, and you are running it with perseverance. You have to persevere. You have to endure all those hardships that are there in this life. You do not have to feel desperate. You don't have to despair. Just keep running. Keep running. And in Kenya, by the way, we cannot stress the issue of racing, because running races, because most of our brothers, and especially from the Rift, they have just been giving us a good name worldwide, world all over, because of the running. They run the short races, they run the long races, and they bring us medals. Some bring us gold, some bring us silver, others bring us bronze. And so with Kenyans, we cannot argue about it. We cannot imagine. It is a reality to us. And even some of us, among us, they run the races. And what we know is that race is marked. You may have places where you are running, the attitude is so high, and you have to keep fighting. You have to keep fighting. Where the race is marked. This morning as I was coming, I met with some youngsters who are running, and I imagine how they have, what they are persevering, what difficulties they are experiencing. It was cold, and they were almost naked. They were almost naked. The sleeveless, including our girls, who we think should be covered almost, they should be covered at least. They were just having the sleeveless, and then the shorts were so short. They were just there, but they were running. They were running, and everyone who met them knew that these ones are ready for a race. Did anyone come across them? Yes, they were there. They were almost naked. So what are we saying? Point number one, these people prepared for the race, and one thing that they did, it was just putting off, throwing off anything that was entangled in them, anything that could have been, have brought a lot of weight to them. Because for you and me to run the race right, we have to be light. We have to be light. Eight and twisting. For us to run the race right, we have to be light. Are we together? Yes. For you to run the race right, you have to be light. You have to be light in it. And that is why Hebrews is reminding us that we need to throw off any weight, anything, and especially sin. What sin is entangling you? What sin is preventing you run this race without any difficulties? What sin is throwing you back? What sin is holding you? We need to think about those weights that we have that can prevent us running the race well. Praise be to God. Yes, and the Bible is just clear, mentioning the sins. Sins of omission. Sins of omission. You have done things that are not desirable to God. You have done things that are really not desirable to the people that you are living around with. We have committed sin. The word of God is reminding us, throw off any of those weights, because they are making you heavy. You are not like those that are running races, who are throwing off any clothing, anything that is going to prevent them run the race well. And therefore, what we are saying is, there are sins of negligence, there are sins that we have committed, and now we are not aware that we committed them. And that is why when we pray, and I'm so happy for the one that led us in the intercessory prayers, she really led us well to even come to a point of confessing our sins. Because God is so honest, God is so merciful. When you come to Him and surrender yourself to Him, He allows you to confess your sin. He allows you to repent. So why have those weights? You have weights, you have some sins, you have some people that are in your head. You keep thinking about them, what they did. And by the way, I did not mention that women are very historical. They are very historical. What you did to her when you married her, those that have married, those that have wives, she'll keep remembering. You know, even when I came to your house, this is what happened. And she'll keep remembering for the rest of her life. And so there are some of us who really remember the wrong things that are done. They count the wrongs instead of the rights. You are counting the wrongs. It is like you have a list. You have made a list. You did this, you did this, you did this, you did this. Don't be so historical on the wrongs. Don't be so historical on the wrongs. You had better be historical on the rights. The rights that are done to you, just put a tick and tell God, even these wrongs, take them to be rights. So that you can have good relationship with people. So that you can relate well with people as you move on with the race. Because each and every one of us is running the race. But how are you running? Are you light? Are you able? Are you prepared to run this race? Are you ready? What is hindering you? What is pulling you back? Is it because of a sister? Is it because of a brother? Is it because of how your company is faring? Is it because of your workplace? Is it because of the nation? You know, even this nation is just making us angry. Sometimes you are talking about corruption, and some of us are even praying very, very openly, saying, "Why, God? Why are you not doing something? It's not God's business. It is our business. Let us own this business. It is our weight. It is our weight. We Kenyans, it is our weight. So we need to handle it and handle it with care so that we finish." You know, even the police, and if there is any policeman here, just forgive me for that. It is us who take the bribes to them. They don't request. Do they request? Not so often. Not so often. They don't. Most of the times, especially on the traffic, just watch. Even if you are using your car, just watch how people behave. Policeman tells you, "Oh, Mrs. Mama." Even before you are told your mistake, you are saying, "Okay, together with your license, you have inserted something here." And then the police just open and smile, take the big, return the license and tell you, maybe your car is mechanically disabled. So you do not allow justice to take place. As simple as that, we are allowing things. Can we throw off all these weights? Let us throw off all these weights. Yes, it is our business. It is our business. Point number two. For us to continue running the race with perseverance, we must push. We must push. It is not something easy. It is not easy. Let me refer to those athletes. They are pushing against time. They push against expectations. They push for the first position. They push for all the things that they need so that they can win that race. Look at Hannah. Was her race very comfortable? No. When she was leaving, there were two wives. There was a lot of polygamy among the people that time. There were two wives. And then the first wife was blessed with children. The second one was not blessed with children. Or maybe one wife. Penina and Hannah. So Hannah is there. She's so desperate. Where did she take her weight? She pushed. She prayed until something happened. My dear brother, God is calling upon us to pray until something happens. And you know, praying, serious praying. It is so draining. The people who did the prayer and fasting, those who participated very well, they know that missing a meal, missing the whole day, taking just water, doing the dry fasting, it is not a joke. Or is it to you? It is not a joke. But what we are saying is, Hannah dedicated that time. She even went to the temple and even prayed. There was nothing that could silence her. And because the world at that time, even the church was corrupt. Is he describing what the church is today? Is there corruption in the church? Corruption in the church? I like it when you say this. The issue of money, leadership, titles, I am the archbishop. You can remember what is here in our social media. I'm the bishop. Let me not speak it loudly. All those are the issues that are there. Praise the Lord. How many people have that grief? It's all over here. It is, I have it. It is all over. It is all over. So the issue of leadership, the issue of money, the issue of names, who is this title, who is coming to the chairman, whoever, there is all that. But we have to continue pushing. Praise be to God. We have to put our prayers into action. Because when we commit our prayers to God, we wait upon God to answer our prayers according to his riches in glory. Praise be to God. And therefore, let us remember that we have to continue pushing. We have to push against all the things that are there. We have to push. We have to. Hannah did her part. The world at that time, there was a lot of, and even the husband came to a point that he's appearing like he's not supporting. Even if you are not supported from within or from without, do not worry. Continue. Praise be to God. There's a song we sing and say, I'm pressing on. Continue pressing. Continue pressing on. The fight is not yet over. The race is not yet over until it is over. It is not yet over until it is over. So continue pressing. Just continue pressing. Just continue. Continue running. Just persevere. There are things that are going to come. Do not despair before you see the end. Before you see the end. Before you get your medal, do not despair. Do not despair. Do not divert. Just continue running on the race that is marked out for you. Because the world today, it is just sinking. There are so many things that are happening. But there are so many that are still upright. Are you one of them? There are still so many that are still righteous. Are you one of them? Ask your neighbor. Are you one of them? The righteous. Yeah. The very good ones. Those that are still standing. They are standing. They are still pushing. When the others fall, they are still standing and pushing. They are still praying. They are still doing the right things. They are still holding their families together. They are still holding their church together. They are still making contributions, positive contributions to this nation. Even when everyone is doing, thinking it is God for us all, man for himself. So everyone is just looking for your own good, for your own strength, for your own title. There is no one who is thinking about the other, but there are still very few. There are still quite a good number that God has elected who are still righteous. Amen? Be one of them. Be one of them who are running the right race. They are not getting entangled. They are still standing. I don't know whether you can declare before God and stand on your 2 feet and say, Dear God, I am still righteous. I am still righteous. Nothing has pulled me down. May God shower you with his blessings, so that you can be able to see those diversions that you have, those things that are entangling you, those things that are pulling you back, those weights that are hindering you. Because Hannah was able to go through the hindrances until she was called a drunkard. Let people call you a drunkard. Let people call you names. But so long as you are looking at that Jesus, at that God who has promised to be with you until the day is done, until the end of this age, stand firm. Stand firm. Stand firm. Some of us have been sat even from places of work, you are told, okay, we do not entertain such people. These people who think they are thoroughly saved, they are more than saved. And you go and look for your place. I want to believe you have found your place. You have found your place. Where your lights are. And therefore, if Hannah pushed until she got a son, then why are we despairing? Why are we becoming so frustrated? Why are we not encouraging one another? Why are we not telling one another, adding your life is not the end. We need to keep enjoying. We need to keep enjoying. I remember a certain old man. He was very short. And he married a very huge lady. Very huge lady. And so this man just stood on his 2 feet and said, I am still the husband. Or whatever my size, I am the husband. And so he used to say, I'm not going to be here for long. I'm not going to be here for long, but I'm going to stay long. I'm going to stay. Can we have such that I'm going to stay? I'm going to continue holding. I'm going to continue holding. I'm not yet ready to release. I'm still able to run this race because God is on our side. The other thing still on pushing is keeping our vows. How many vows have you made before God? Are you fulfilling them? Are you fulfilling them? Ecclesiastes 5. When you make a vow before God, be ready to fulfill it. Be ready to fulfill it. There are so many vows that we have made. Those that have the headscarf today. Those that have the maroon coat today. Those that have the PCMF badges. Those that have married. Those that did a church wedding. Those that were baptized. No one is left here. Are we fulfilling our vows? So it is a wastage of time. If you come before God and before his people, you make a vow and you not fulfill it. Just fulfill it. Because God is watching. God is watching. God is watching. God is watching. The young people who are here, I don't know whether they are here. If we make a promise to a lady, I'm going to marry you at the end of this year. And then, as you go on, you meet another one. You meet another one better than the one you promised. And then you leave her without even a word. Wait. Acha mchezo. Acha. Yes. A new lady, when you commit yourself to someone, fulfill the vows you make. Whether in the open or in the secret. Whatever vows you make, they are vows before God. So you come here and say, I'm going to honor God. I'm going to be my faithful someone to you. I'm going to be this. I'm going to. Remember Hannah, when she gave birth to Samuel, she heeded to the vow that she made before. She did not look at the boy and say, oh, this is a very handsome boy, so I'm going to remain with him. She surrendered that boy to God, to service, to ministry. So, if you make a vow before God, do not hesitate. Just fulfill it, because that is what you are expected to do. And the last point is, let us fix our eyes onto Jesus. Author and the perfecter of our faith. He endured persecution, even death on the cross. When he said it is finished, all your struggles, they were finished at the cross. So let us fix our eyes on Jesus. And when we fix our eyes on Jesus, he changes our human nature to be godly. So we are able to love other people unconditionally, whether they have long noses, big ears, whether they have big hearts, whether they are swollen, whether they are sick, whether they are dying, whether they are stinking, we are able to love. Praise be to God. Amen. Because Jesus, who is the author and the perfecter of our faith, he made it. He made it. Who was more sinful than the Samaritan woman? Imagine a whole Jew, a whole Jewish man sitting with a lady who was so sinful. But Jesus did not worry. Even when disciples came and they were wondering what Jesus is saying to the woman, he was there. He was there. He led the lady to understand who he was. And then she rose up and became an evangelist and said, come and see a man who is telling me all my secrets. Are you able to lead people to Christ? Fix your eyes on Jesus. Who was so lovely? Who was so compassionate, who was so humbled, who was so humbled. Remember the Bible says, pride comes before. Let us not be proud. Let us not be proud. Let us humble ourselves before God. And when we humble ourselves before God, we are able to run the race. We are able to run that race. Because that race, it is for the strong. It is for the people who are fixing their eyes on Jesus. It is for the people who continue pushing in things, the right things, of course. It is for the people who have thrown off all the weight, who just run free. They just do not have many things to count. They are just there. And then, when you run the race, when you run alone, it is not very good. It is not very comfortable. Remember your colleagues. Remember the people around. Let us be evangelists to one another, your neighbors. Let us fulfill the Great Commission. Because when you fulfill the Great Commission, we are bringing as many people as possible to God. On Friday, I attended a fraterno. We had our ministers and spouses fraterno at Enchoro Emne. I don't know whether that is the right name for the place, at Gom. And so we had a speaker who was so wonderful, and he was stressing on coming from the wisdom kingdom to the kingdom of obedience. Kingdom of obedience. Obedience. So Jesus was able to obey. He obeyed. He obeyed. He was sent to come and interact with sinful men. He did not get entangled by the sins of the world, but he stood out. He declared his stand. Brother, sister, declare your stand. Declare your stand. And when you declare your stand, you'll be able to run the race. Even when people see you, they'll be saying, this one is running his or her race. A story is told of people who are disabled, and they had a competition. They were running. They were running. And so they were doing 100 meters, because the disabled people normally are given very short races, depending on how the ability is, the disability is. So they made a queue so that they were ready to start. And because some were blind, others were lame, others had all the other disabilities, others were deaf. So they were there and they were waiting to run the race. And that is our situation today. We are on a queue and we are ready to start the race. And the person who is leading us has a gun. Has a gun to start us off. And so these disabled people, when they had queued, all of them with their own disabilities, when they were told onto your marks, some could not even go down. So they had their small machines that they had to put in order. Others were there, they could not hear. They were looking at their sign interpreter. They were there. Others were blind, so they could not see what was happening. So what they did is that they made a queue, and when the gun was finally shot to start the race, they held their hands and they walked together up to the finishing end. So there was no number one, there was no number last. That is what we need at this time, to run together this race with perseverance. So I call upon each and every one of us, let us run the race that is marked out for us with perseverance, fixing our eyes on Jesus, laying off or throwing off any weight, and then pushing until something happens in our own life. May God bless us. May He lead us. May He carry us through. May He carry us through. Because when we all get to heaven, there will be great joy. When we all praise the Lord. So when we all go to heaven, we forget all about our struggles, all about our worries. We just continue praising the Lord forever and ever. In the name of the Father,